sink? It's tap water. It's called tap water. I mean, yeah, it's a faucet, but it's called tap water.
You know, I don't.
What would you say? Hey, I'm going to go walk to the faucet, or I would go walk to the tap?
I'd probably say sink, usually.
Sink, yeah.
I wouldn't say I'm going to walk to either of those things.
Not for a second. I'll walk anywhere.
Yeah.
All right, well, welcome back.
As good as it's going to get today.
To the Beyond Sunday podcast, where we're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff. With me, as always, Pastor David Bowser.
How we doing, Patrick?
And Katie Phillips.
Hello, Patrick.
Hello, all three of us. Back in the studio again. 2 weeks in a row.
Hey.
First time this has happened.
Wow.
In the new year.
New 2020 personal best. Yes.
It's only taken until mid-February to make this happen.
Yep, and here we are. Here we are. Everybody had good weekends?
It was great.
Yeah. When we talk about our weekend, we're actually talking about last weekend for our listeners.
Oh, yes. Like two weekends ago.
So the world could have had major news between recording and this release.
That's not the weekend we're talking about.
Yeah.
Nope.
It was really nice weather, so we got to play outside, and it was fun.
It was nice. Yeah. Oscars won here. A foreign film won Best Picture. And
first
Best
time ever, right?
I don't believe it's the first time ever. The Artist won Best Picture a few years ago, and that's a silent film that I think was made.
I thought there was some. Was it dubbed in English?
It was subtitled.
Maybe that was it. It was the first foreign subtitled film.
Okay,
I think maybe that's what it was.
Cool.
There's some first. I don't know. I don't watch the Oscars. I don't really care.
Yeah.
I find that I tend to not really enjoy the movies that win awards, and I enjoy movies that don't. So I don't know what that says about me as a person, but I'm comfortable with it.
You like the lowbrow movies.
I'm cool with that. It's fine.
Yes. All right, here we go. Let's move into some news.
Done talking about Pastor David now.
I am done talking about your movie preferences. Like Adam Sandler movies or something?
I have no comment on whether or not I do or do not like Adam Sandler movies. I didn't like that stupid movie that he came out with not most recently, but there was one that he came out with a while back that I didn't like. Spanglish, that was it.
Okay. That was like 12 years ago.
Right?
It seems like just yesterday.
I grew up in the 90s. I liked Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore, and The Water Boy when I was a kid. Yeah.
You almost said The Water Burger.
The Water Burger. I do like Water Burger too. So.
Also true.
All right. So a man is suing the NFL.
Sure.
And Pepsi.
And
his local cable company.
Obviously. What? Okay.
Over the Super Bowl halftime show.
All right.
Did you watch the Super Bowl halftime show?
I did. Because I needed to find out how many costume changes there were so I could tell if I won or lost.
I lost.
Yes. But I still was neck neutral enough that I won, so I'm okay with that.
Okay, sounds good.
Oh, we've got to decide what Katie's going to have to do.
Yeah, I haven't decided.
Yeah, thanks for bringing all this back up again.
Right. I don't want our listeners to forget
Dave Dobbenmeyer, a Christian activist who hosts a podcast. Aw, maybe he can be a guest.
Yeah, there we go. We can have him on.
Yeah, has announced that because of viewing the halftime show in which J-Lo and Shakira gyrated, his words, in skimpy outfits for about 50 minutes, put him in danger of hellfire.
Hmm.
Yeah. So what do you think? Is this sue worthy here?
He has a finger which could touch a button that I'm sure could turn off the TV.
These days, he could use his voice.
Yeah, that's true. Alexa.
Turn off the TV.
That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. Well, he actually says he did turn it off.
That's how the courts work. I don't think the courts can give you money for your eternal soul.
Yeah, probably not. But he's doing it.
I mean, if Dave feels that he was in danger of going to hell because of the Super Bowl, he's entitled not to watch it. He's entitled to tell other people that he doesn't want to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the courts have anything to do with that.
Yeah,
you can take it up with God.
Sure,
you can pray for God to bring down hellfire upon those people.
J-Lo and Shakira.
Yeah, and Pepsi and the cable company. You know, whatever. You could do that. I don't know that God would do it, but he could pray for that. I think that would be a more beneficial use of his time than trying to sue them. How much is he suing them for? Like, how much is his eternal salvation worth?
He is suing for $876 trillion.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, eternity, right?
It's a good round number.
It's expensive. Why not? Yeah.
876, that's what he would settle for.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Maybe you could get on this, a class action lawsuit. You have a bunch of people in this. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember Jesus saying at any moment, like, if you ever are watching the Super Bowl halftime show and Shakira shakes her booty a little bit, that you are in danger of hell. You know,
yeah.
For Jesus, the hips don't lie did not become one of his tenets from the Sermon on the Mount.
Sure, sure. But it, I don't want to completely dismiss his... I want to completely dismiss his lawsuit. I don't want to completely dismiss his concern, right? Because I think it's a concern you're allowed to have, that if something offends you or if you fear that seeing something puts your soul at risk, like, yeah, that's a concern you could have.
Sure.
It is not how I understand faith to work. It's not how I understand Jesus to work. That's a concern you could have. Taking it to the courts, that's the part where I'm like,
that's a little too far.
It's ineffective. Yeah. It's an abuse of our courts. I mean, we wonder why our courts are backlogged and unable to do
I doubt Mr. Dave Dobbenmeyer is going to get very far on this lawsuit.
Well, maybe Mr. Dave and I should have a conversation. Yeah. Dave to Dave.
One Dave to Dave. Yeah. Well, he's got a podcast.
What's the name of his podcast?
I do not have that information in front of
Come
me
on,
here,
Patrick.
Unfortunately. And also, I
Where's
don't,
our research
I'm not entirely department? Sure I want to promote Dave's podcast. All right.
We're
going to
get him on our podcast. So
yeah.
We've got to have reciprocity.
I think Dave and I are going to disagree on a lot of things. Little noise going on here in the ceiling.
That was fun.
Dave? Now, the social medias were all upset about the halftime show.
They were.
Yes.
So Dave is probably not alone in being upset about the halftime show.
Yeah.
This is the only person I've heard saying they're going to sue the NFL.
Right.
Especially
and Pepsi.
Especially
and his cable company.
Because of his eternal soul salvation
right.
attached
right.
to it.
Right.
Yeah.
For 870, is that what it was? $870 trillion?
76.
Oh, 76. Sure.
Yeah.
Add that extra $6 trillion in there.
You know, it'd be reasonable at 870. I mean, that seems like a fair number. But
yeah.
Really, that last six is just getting greedy.
I agree. Yeah. Pepsi would probably sell out of court.
Right.
Just for
right.
that.
For 870.
For the
sure.
800 trillion.
Yeah, we'll sell for that. No problem.
Yeah. Did you see that the social medias were all a flutter over
yeah,
the halftime
yes.
show?
Yeah.
Yes.
I did not watch the Super Bowl, so I cannot say. I did see some clips of J-Lo and Shakira's performance. And I'll say, it's content alone, it's incredibly impressive.
Yeah.
J-Lo's 50 years old. Shakira's 43.
Right.
I'm 40, and I couldn't do any of those things.
True. Yeah.
I know one who would want me to do any of those things. Yes.
Definitely not on the podcast.
Yeah.
So.
It's a podcast is an audio medium. It's okay.
Yeah.
Check our Facebook page for future videos.
Yeah. Nope.
Yeah, so alone, I think, and also, I mean, this didn't seem any different than many pop performances that have been played over.
Yeah, I don't think that there is any significant difference between this and the past several years of Super Bowl performances.
Yeah.
And maybe I just don't remember. Maybe there was the same level of outrage at past performances.
Sure.
I just don't recall it.
Mm-hmm.
There seemed to be some feigned aggression about this. You know, we want to be angry for the sake of being angry. And I don't know. You have a remote. You can turn it off. No one's forcing you to watch that. No,
I agree completely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you want family or wholesome family entertainment, watch the Puppy Bowl.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'd say if you want wholesome family
friendly
entertainment, you should even consider, should you be watching the Super Bowl at all?
That's a fair question, right?
I mean,
yeah.
There's plenty of plenty of evidence to suggest playing professional football leads to major traumatic brain injuries and hurt
mm-hmm.
from players that have gone unaddressed by the league. And so you would say, is this something you really even want to support?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I personally don't care one way or the other about Shakira and J-Lo. And I also don't care one way or the other about Dave. But I also don't think his lawsuit's going to do anything.
Yeah, I don't think
it's
going to.
I also think it's funny. So.
Yeah.
But, and then it's probably doing more look at this crazy Christian dude with this crazy lawsuit
mm-hmm.
over something silly.
Christian activist, he says.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this past week, we had the National Prayer Breakfast. Are you familiar with the National Prayer Breakfast?
I have heard
in
of
PB.
It. Is that what we're
not
calling
really.
It?
That's
the
what
NPB.
I'm calling it.
What is it?
Isn't NPB already a thing? The national,
peanut butter?
No.
National peanut butter.
National peanut butter.
I think NPB stands for, I don't know. NPR. It doesn't matter.
Yes.
NPR, that's what I'm thinking of. That's
PBA?
Not what I'm thinking of.
Okay.
What? Bowling?
Oh, professional. Yeah, maybe I'm thinking of PBA.
Professional
that
Bowling
could be,
Association.
Yeah. Nice.
No.
Go on,
those are all acronyms. Did you know? Scuba's an acronym.
Scuba?
Yes.
For scuba diving?
Yes,
since it stands for
self-contained underwater breathing apparatus. Boom. There you go.
Yeah.
All right, well, the National Prayer Breakfast has existed, I did some research here, since 1953.
All right.
So
okay.
This is a long time. It's usually held by the House of Representatives.
Hosted by the House
of Representatives. And it's generally co-hosted by members of opposite sides of the political party. So a Republican and a Democrat will co-host it. So this year,
bipartisan effort.
It was hosted by Rep. John Mulaner. Mulaner. Sure. A Republican. Sorry, John. A Republican from Michigan. Yeah. I'm sure John's listening.
Yep.
And Rep. Friend Tom Suzy, a Democrat from New York.
Tom Suzy?
Sure.
Not Suzy Tom?
I believe it's Tom Suzy.
All right.
And so they... This is a thing that's happened every year. Every president is a part of this.
Okay.
And this
every president has been invited to be a part of it. Yeah.
Every president has been invited. And I believe most presidents... I think every president's made an appearance at least one year during their tenure here. I know Barack Obama, Bill Clinton have been a part of it.
So this happens yearly.
This happens yearly, yes.
Okay.
All right. So this year, President Trump was a part
our
of the...
current president.
Our current president. All right. So the keynote speaker was Professor Arthur Brooks, who had a theme, who just released a book and had his theme ultimately was on loving your enemies from Jesus.
He's a Harvard professor, right? Am I remembering
Harvard professor. Yeah. And he urged the audience not let their political disagreements lead to contempt for one another. And so it's all about this idea of how we, especially in the political arena, seek out ways to love our enemies,
mm-hmm.
those that
mm-hmm.
disagree with us,
mm-hmm.
on maybe major issues
right.
that dominate our society
right.
and our world. How can we find commonality?
A worthwhile
right.
message when you're speaking to a room full of people who disagree? I mean, because this is mostly congressional leaders
mm-hmm.
who attend. Is that correct?
It usually has about 5,000 people who attend.
Okay.
So it is well attended. It has faith leaders and political activists come to this thing. It's predominantly Christian, but I don't think it is explicitly Christian that other faiths are not welcome. But it is definitely a Christian slant.
Gotcha.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So in his speech, Brooks recalled speaking to a group of conservative activists and telling them that their political opponents were neither evil nor stupid, and saying that line didn't get much applause when he spoke to political activists, which I think is probably fair.
Yeah.
All right. So he's in the speech. Here I have some quotes here. This is from Christianity Today. Brooks also said Jesus asked his followers to love their enemies, not just tolerate them. Putting that into practice, he admitted, is hard. And Brooks asked the crowd, how many of you love somebody with whom you disagree politically? So how about you guys? Do you love people that you disagree with politically?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, me too. I definitely would say. And I love people who I disagree with politically who are right-leaning, and I love people who I disagree with politically who are left-leaning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it's not just one side to the other. I think there can be extremes on both sides, and you find ways. And I would say I don't agree with all of it.
Yeah.
And I suit ways to love it. Many people in the audience raised their hands. President Trump did not.
Okay.
So
do we think that means he does not love someone who disagrees with him politically, or do we think that means that he wasn't paying attention, or do you think that means that he...
I think it means he did not raise his hand.
I
will do him the favor of not trying to...
Read into it, yeah,
but I will say it did happen.
Yeah.
You know, like
he did not raise his hand. Okay.
Yeah. So after he spoke, President Trump did speak.
As presidents have done before.
I recently watched some of... what Barack Obama said at a previous one, and to offer some context
mm-hmm.
to this speech, which I found pretty difficult to watch. And I don't want to get too politicized here on our podcast. I mean, I'm sure many of our listeners may say that has happened in the past. We've been politicized, and that we might end up in the future. It is an election year, and I think if we interact, we talk about how Christianity intersects with the culture of today, it's almost impossible to avoid the political culture.
Okay.
But after the speech about loving one's enemies, President Trump got up there and showed a newspaper to everybody about how he was acquitted of impeachment.
That's right. So this took place the day after
his acquittal.
No acquittal.
Yes.
Okay.
Has said he's been put through a horrible ideal by some corrupt, dishonest people, specifically calling out Representative Schiff and Nancy Pelosi.
Who were both present for the...
Nancy Pelosi was. I can't say about Adam Schiff. Did some veiled remarks about Mitt Romney and Nancy Pelosi again. He said, I don't like people who use their faith for justification for doing what they know is wrong, nor do I like people who say, I pray for you, when they know that is not so, said President Trump, who identifies as a Presbyterian. And then...
With a Presbyterian?
Who identifies as a Presbyterian.
Oh. I didn't know that President Trump identified as a Presbyterian.
He says he's gone to Presbyterian church.
Okay.
Yeah. And he gets his little cracker. This is direct quote. That's his talk about Presbyterian communion.
Okay.
Yeah. He then went on to talk about the stock market, his political achievements, things like that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. That is... And also to talk about hosting Celebrity Apprentice and being replaced by Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Okay.
You know, classic prayer breakfast material. Okay. What are your thoughts on this?
You know, I guess on one level, I will agree that I'm not really a big fan of people who say they're going to pray for you when you know that they're not. I mean, I don't think we should lift up prayer as like this artificial, oh, I can pray for that. I think that should be a genuine thing if we're going to do that, so I can support that. It's definitely in stark contrast to what was said before him, right? I mean, we are given one speaker and professor who's talking about Jesus' message to love our enemies, and then another presenter and speaker who happens to be the president who seems to be acting in a way that I would say is not an effort to love who he clearly considers his enemies. I mean, I think he self-identifies people as his enemies, and I don't feel like that's an effort to love them.
Sure.
And, you know, regardless of whether or not he's the president, right, that's not the point for me at this particular moment. What does this mean for us as Christians, right? If we are looking to one another as people of faith, what does it mean for us to genuinely love our neighbors and genuinely love our enemies? And Brooks said it himself, right? This is really hard work. It's not easy to look at someone who wants to persecute you or look at someone who wants to kill you and say, I still love you. But that's the example not only of Jesus that we're given, but the example of the first martyrs, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Stephen, as he's being stoned, the first martyr in the book of Acts, as he's being stoned, cries out, Father, forgive them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think any of us are in a place right now where we feel like we are willing to take that kind of love for our enemies. And that's risky to move so drastically in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
And my question is, at what point did we get to where we are so divisive that when you disagree with somebody, no matter how big of an issue it is or how small of an issue it is, it automatically means you can't like each other anymore.
Yeah.
You can't be in the same room.
Yeah.
You can't have any conversation related to anything else ever again.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that's people I disagree with on the left or just people I disagree with on the right, again, just like you said, like, when did we reach that point that we can no longer sit down and have a conversation, even if we disagree with each other?
Yeah.
And still be able to move on, not have to feel like the other person is absolutely wrong and I can have nothing to do with you now.
Yeah, I know we've mentioned this on previous podcasts, but for me, I always have to come back to this, especially in this arena, is I do believe in years past we would say, how can my faith influence my political views or how my political activism or how I vote? And now I believe that has flipped for us as the United States. And it's now, how does my political views influence my faith and how I read scripture, how I attend church, what churches I attend? That now that political identity is the primary identity for a lot of Americans, left or right. That this is where we're first and foremost getting who we are, and then we're expressing that into our faith life. And then when it comes to our faith walk, we may be spending a couple hours in church, Bible study a week, engaged in political discussion or political news media for five times as much as that.
Yeah.
And so it can't help but influence
and
us.
I wonder, I mean, too, every time you are at home and you turn the TV on or you are on your phone and you have the notification from your news app, I'm telling you right now, it's not Jesus in the news.
Sure.
It's some kind of political something that's happened now. So that it's constantly in our face. What if Jesus was in the news?
Yeah.
Like, what if the notification on our phone five times a day was Jesus or some kind of not Jesus himself, but like, you know what I'm saying? You're like,
sure.
This scripture verse is going to pop up 17 times in one day instead of your latest news.
Yeah.
So number one, I think you've got a great idea for an app. I think we should establish right now.
A Jesus app?
Yeah. Beyond Sunday trademark. If you develop that,
copyright
trademark.
Any app that has anything to do with Jesus.
It's trademark. Right. We've got it.
But, like, when people download, is that something they want to see every day on their phone? Would they rather see the political stuff that's going on?
I think, to be perfectly honest, they would rather see things that support what they already believe.
Yeah.
Mm.
And so if that's sayings and teachings of Jesus that support them, then great. And if it's the news that supports them, then great. Because what I don't want, and I say this for myself, right? This is my own, you know, I've spent so much of my day feeling like I have to defend myself. I don't want to look at my phone and then be convicted of something else. Right? I want to feel supported and encouraged, especially from my phone, which is like my most trusted partner at this point. Right? Yeah. Perhaps we've extended the metaphor too far.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that's what we want. We want to look for those places that support what we already believe. And we are, you know, all of us are guilty of this. And I will speak myself first and foremost amongst us that, you know, that's what we're looking for. And so, you know, if I believe that, you know, it's my role to feed the hungry, then yeah, it's really encouraging to have Jesus come up and say, you know, blessed are the hungry, right? That's a great one. But if I believe that I'm justified in going to war over whatever, then having Jesus pop up and say, blessed are the peacemakers, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to have to spend brain power processing that, even though I think that's the more faithful route. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think I went off the rails a little there. But.
No. I think you did okay. I'll give you a pass.
On Katie's thing, I think there was a show that came out like within the last couple of years, like Jesus Friended Me or something like that.
God Friended Me.
God Friended Me.
Oh, the text message thing.
Yeah, did any of you guys watch that?
No.
Okay, well, we have no comment. It existed.
I'm sure it got canceled
very quickly. Maybe it had something to do with what Katie was talking about. Maybe it did.
I think it's God becomes somebody's friend on Facebook, and then, like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, who knows?
That's probably bad.
I'm not actual God or Jesus.
Right. We understand that Jesus is not actually going to be texting you.
Yeah.
Okay, we understand that.
But I can also see the irony in saying these things while we also, on our Christian podcast, are engaging in the political atmosphere here.
Right.
We're talking about this from our platform. We don't just use this solely to talk about scripture or Jesus or faith. We are talking about how does culture and these things
engage. Well, and I wonder too how many people are struggling. I know that I am struggling politically because I don't feel, for me personally, and here we go, I'm going to get political here. What? For me personally, I struggle because
we haven't established with what you're struggling.
Because I don't feel like there is a candidate anywhere who represents me, like who really gets everything all in one.
Sure.
And I think that's hard for a lot of us. Like, what do you pick and choose that is more important than this thing over here?
And I think what has happened, and I think almost everybody would agree with that statement.
Yes.
That no candidate expresses my fullest vision of what I desire for America.
Right.
But I think what's easy to happen is I vote for this candidate that maybe encapsulates the best vision, and then that candidate all of a sudden becomes part of my tribe. And because they're part of my tribe, I now align my previously held views to theirs, because that's what happens. That it used to be, I think, maybe you could have a greater sense of, like, I support this candidate, I voted for them, here's the ways and reasons I disagree with them politically.
Right.
And I think that just is very much left out of the discussion.
Right.
Yeah.
That I see most Trump supporters say, basically, I support President Trump, and any criticism of President Trump is immediately dismissed or thrown away, including by Christianity Today. They wrote an article supporting impeachment, an editorial. And the criticisms I heard of that article from Twitter and the news media was not, here's why it's wrong. It just was like, it's leftist, it's progressive, therefore.
Right.
And which, by the way, Christianity Today is neither leftist nor progressive.
Yeah.
Like, so therefore, it should be dismissed.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't even like address these things. It's like, oh, if it's from the left, if it's from the right, it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, and the same thing can be said of, you know, Bernie Sanders' supporters or Elizabeth Warren supporters. You know, all of us are doing this. This is not a problem of one side or another. This is a human problem.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's a problem. So currently at Lord of Life, you know, we're going through 1 Corinthians, and we're talking about how the early church grew up in this section. And, you know, Paul is saying over and over, look at the divisions that are among you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this week in particular, this will be the Sunday before this episode comes out. We're reading chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. Paul's going to say, look, the divisions among you are because you are still living as though you're not part of the body of Christ.
Yeah.
You're still living, and Paul says that, you know, you're still living as part of the flesh. You're still focused on quarreling. You're focused on dividing yourselves from another. You're focused on what's best for you rather than asking yourself, what is it that God desires? What is it that God is doing in this place? And I think as a national body, that is what we are doing. We're focused on our individual, what is it that's best for me, and then we're finding ways to equate God with what is best for me.
Sure.
And if one thing has been true in my particular faith life, the times I have found myself closest to God are the times when what God desires is most starkly unaligned with what I desire for myself.
Mm-hmm.
When
right.
God is calling me out of those places of what's comfortable and easy and safe for me, those are the times that I feel most closely aligned with God.
Right, but if we go back to Scripture, and we've talked about this on the podcast before too, because Scripture can be interpreted.
Sure.
And it can
and should be interpreted.
Absolutely. But you can have things in there that support both sides of everything.
Yeah.
So who
mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's all not very...
Yeah. This is not a solution to who to vote for.
Yeah.
Right. No, for sure.
And
absolutely.
You know, Scripture is not going to say, oh, well, we have these political views, and so that's not its purpose. And you can read Scripture and interpret every single page or every single word on every single page and still say, in all likelihood, none of these candidates fully support what I think God is doing. But how do we enter into conversation with one
mm-hmm.
another, right? You know, we come to this space to worship every week with people across the political sphere.
Mm-hmm.
And so how can we as the church, as the body of Christ, say when we enter this space, we're more concerned about what God is going to do than we are about what's best for me?
Right.
And so it's going to be different from the world,
right? Right?
And so especially in an election cycle when every conversation that we have outside of this building is going to be tainted by who are you voting for? Or do you agree with me or do you disagree?
Mm-hmm.
How do we come to this place and say, yeah, we have disagreements, but we are one in Christ and we know that there are calls that Christ puts on our lives that matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it does not matter if you are a Republican or a Democrat or a socialist or an anarchist or a conservative or a liberal. None of that matters when you are one in Christ, because the gospel of Jesus Christ stays the same today, tomorrow, and forever. And the gospel of Jesus Christ includes loving our neighbor as God first loved
mm-hmm.
us. And so how do we put aside everything else to say, we're going to do that?
Mm-hmm. But that looks different to everyone. That does not necessarily look at all. I'm saying is that it looks different
on a national social system level. Yes, right. There are ways that Republicans want to attack social welfare issues. There are ways Democrats want to attack social. Yes, but as a body of Christ, how can we come together as people who disagree politically, who disagree in all these different places, and find our unity in Christ and say we are going to do this work together
mm-hmm.
in this place.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that even if things look differently, I think we can come together in Christ and find paths forward.
Right.
In ways that our government will never be able to.
Right.
Because our government was not set up to be the church. The church was set up to be the church.
Right.
So stop expecting the government to do the church's work.
Right.
So lastly here.
I got off on something. I don't know where
I agree. So lastly, President Trump did say this towards the end of his speech. I'm sorry, I apologize, I'm trying to learn. He tried to get back onto the point Mr. Brooks was trying to make here. When they impeach you for nothing, you're supposed to like them? It's not easy, folks. I'm doing my best. And, you know, I want to read this with the best possible framework for President Trump.
Sure.
But there's one thing here and here that I distinctly disagree with, and that is his use of terminology here. I mean, Jesus... and Arthur Brooks here expounded on, Jesus' command is to love our enemies. And I think, based on my clearest reading of this, Donald Trump interpreted that as, how do I like my enemies?
Mm-hmm.
And those are two vastly different
yes.
things. And so
yeah.
if that's the expectation, if you are supposed to like those that you may have disagreements with or have political strife with, I think you're going to come up short.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's when you're going to find yourself
mm-hmm.
Dealing with these wrestling things, because some things are impossible to like. It's hard to like white supremacy. It's hard to like someone who is a racist or a sexist. Those things are maybe hard to like being around, but that's not what Jesus is asking us. It is calling us to love, and that means to seek the good of the other, even if I do not like them.
Yeah.
That's part of that process. And so I do think... my hope for Mr. President Trump here is that he sees... President Trump is that he sees this clearer. That
yeah.
it's not about liking... He doesn't have to like Nancy Pelosi or Adam Schiff or Mitt Romney or
right.
whomever
yeah.
in Congress. With that, but that doesn't mean you can't act with kindness and respect and love. And the same way back towards President Trump,
yeah.
You may not like him as an individual or as a human, but you can still... hope that, especially in Christ, hope for a redemption or redeemed heart or things like that. Oh, or if you think he has a redeemed heart, you can hope for that for Nancy Pelosi. You know, those are the things you can hope for.
I don't, go ahead.
No, what he's got right is that it's hard.
Yeah.
He's absolutely right. This is loving your enemies is, I think, the hardest teaching of Jesus.
And yet probably the most famous.
Yeah.
So this is interesting because two nights ago, as I was tucking Shane into bed, we had this exact conversation. And he was like...
About President Trump.
Yeah,
Shane, what did you think of the National Prayer
loving,
Breakfast?
How Jesus calls us to love everyone, even if we don't like them.
Yeah.
And he was like... What? He totally did, like, this does not make sense. Like, how, it's easier to like someone than it is to love them, right? I'm like, no. But Jesus still calls, even if we do not like someone or do not get along with somebody, we still have to love them. Does that mean I have to be their friend? Maybe sometime. I don't know what that looks like. It depends on the situation.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I thought this was interesting because it all comes back. I mean, even we need to be having this conversation with each other.
Yeah.
Not just about the President of the United States or about the Secretary of State or about whoever. Everybody needs to be having this conversation.
The only time that I have been aware that someone walked out of one of my sermons, I don't know, other people might have done it and not told me or not.
Sure.
But the only time that I've been aware that someone walked out of my sermons, I was speaking about the need to love our enemies. I mean, and it was someone, you know, I was speaking about loving the people who have hurt us the most, and it was someone who was dealing with a very raw and real divorce situation. And the prospect of loving their now ex-spouse was too much to bear.
Sure.
And I get, you know, it's disgusting to think about loving those people who have hurt us the most. And that's exactly what Jesus calls us to.
And I think the more you've been hurt, the harder you can understand that actually is. That these are not just platitudes that Jesus says of like to write in a Hallmark card. And it's just supposed to be an easy solution to strife in the world. It's an incredibly difficult place to be to love those that can viciously hurt you. And sometimes those are also people who you're closest to, your family and things like that. But I think for those of us, especially in the Christian faith that are listening, it is an undeniable thing that we will share eternity with people that we have unbelievable disagreements with in this life.
Yeah.
And so I believe, why are we waiting until, you know, heaven to figure out how to love one another? I think that's the command that God is giving us. Don't just wait until eternity is at our footsteps and all these other things wash away, but to figure it out now, that we are called to love those that we can have passionate disagreements with and yet still desire them to be taken care of and them to be cared for and them to have good friends and them to have spouses that love and adore them. Children that respect them. We can desire all those things, or even if it's somebody at the worst of the worst, we can hope and desire for the redemption that we find in Jesus Christ to be extended to them as well. And that's what it means sometimes to love our enemies, is I want desperately that they are redeemed, not just punished. And because that's what eternity will be, you know, living side by side with people that we would have potentially hated in our in our day-to-day life here on earth. But that's the power of Jesus Christ. And it does transcend our political atmosphere. Even if it's hard in this world right now, it will transcend Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, Green Party, political strife halfway around the world. Whatever America turns into in 200 years, Jesus will still be there, transcending whatever those things are.
This isn't necessarily a recommendation. I guess it's a challenge to our listeners. We're getting ready to immerse ourselves in another political cycle of a presidential election and whatnot.
Yes.
So I think my challenge would be, you know, many of us probably pray for people who disagree with us. And I think typically our prayer is...
Help them agree with me.
Yes.
Yeah, help them agree.
Help them see what I see.
Yeah, not even just that, but like, you know, essentially we want them to end up agreeing with us, right?
Yeah.
You know, give them wisdom or insight or whatever. You know, so hopefully in the end they see it the way. What if we turned our prayer and said, God, give me the compassion to love them?
Yeah.
Right? What if our prayer for our political enemies was not make them agree with me, but teach me to love them? I think that would be a radical change for us as individuals. You know, what does it mean for us to take seriously the desire to love our enemies? To say, I vehemently disagree with these people. And perhaps they're absolutely wrong. Perhaps they're, you know, doing things that are dangerous and destructive to the country that mm-hmm. you love and support. Pray for God to show you how to love them.
Yeah.
That seems to be what Jesus is telling us.
Yeah.
And I'll do it too. Because that's not been my prayer. I should just fess up. You know, this is coming to me right now. Maybe that's how my prayer life should be looking. And it's not how it's been looking. My prayer life has been looking like, why doesn't everybody agree with me?
Yes.
Why doesn't everybody just see it the way I see it? Mm-hmm. Hey God, why is everybody else wrong? Right? It's
a challenge for us all.
By the way, God doesn't answer when I ask how come everybody else is wrong. God doesn't give me an answer to that. But I think God might give me an answer if I ask God to show me how to love people.
Well, where can you find us?
Right here.
Right here. At Lord Life.
Sitting at this table.
Here we are.
Every week.
Sometimes.
If you liked what you heard today, we hope that you will take the chance to visit us on our Facebook page at Beyond Sunday Podcast on Facebook. We have some new content coming out on that Facebook page as well throughout the week, so be sure to check in. You can catch one of our live videos where you can comment and maybe even ask us questions in the future right there in real time, so you don't have to wait a week and a half for us to talk about the news. We can talk about it as it happens. We'll just have the news on in the background, giving you live commentary on whatever is happening in the selection cycle. Or, of course, you can find us at our website, beyondsundaypodcast.com, and wherever that you go for organically grown and farm-fed podcasts. You can find those there.
Free-range podcasting.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
None of us are kept in cages, so we are a free-range podcast.
That's true. All right, well, thanks for listening, everybody, and we will see you next week.